Scripture reading this morning is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 to 15. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 to 15. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before him that which is already has been. That which is to be already has been, and God seeks what has been driven away. This is the word of God. Let us pray. God our Father, we thank you for gathering us this morning. We thank you for your message in Ecclesiastes this morning. Help us to be attentive to what you are speaking to each and every one of us. Excite us, Lord, with your word. Excite us with your word. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry, I don't seem to be able to control the mouse. Okay. Okay, can you see the screen? Okay, yeah. All right, good morning, one and all, and also those. Are we okay? Oh, so they cannot see. Okay. All right. Sorry about that. Okay. Morning, one and all, and those online. Welcome to Amokyo Presbyterian Church. This is the title of our message this morning, Life with God. Problematic, beautiful, and joyful. The outline of the message, the detailed outline is available in the e-bulletin so that every one of us can follow along, all right? So we are continuing our series in Ecclesiastes, and we are at chapter 3 this morning. So some commentators have stated that if the author has stopped at chapter 2, it would have been a very good conclusion. That life under the sun, S-U-N, life without God, it's meaningless. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. But life under the sun, S-O-N, life with God, would be meaningful. And we have seen how the author described the meaninglessness of life in the first two chapters. That there is nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new. Wisdom is meaningless. Wealth is meaningless. Pleasure is meaningless. Great project achievement is also meaningless. Work is meaningless. And chapter 2, verse 11, best summarize it well, right? Or summarize it well. Yet, when I survey all that my hands have done and what I have toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. And if life without God is meaningless, a chasing after the wind, then life with God would be opposite, would be the opposite, meaningful and purposeful. And that would be a good point to conclude the book. And in fact, the last verse of chapter 2, verse 26, hinted to that. For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting only to give to the one who pleases God. But we have 10 more chapters to go. And we see here in chapter 3 that life with God is also problematic. We cannot figure out, or we cannot find out what God is doing. And that has caused much frustration and perplexity in our life. And the author is brutally honest about that. In fact, he is much more honest than perhaps what some of us Christians are prepared to admit. But yet, at the same time, he says that life with God is also beautiful and has called us to enjoy our life. So let us unpack what the passage is saying to us this morning. The first eight verses, in the first eight verses, the author listed 14 pairs of opposing events or happenings in human life. They are meant to cover the various aspects of our life on earth, from birth to death, that there will be a time to plant, a time to pluck out, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break up, and a time to build up, a time to keep silence, a time to speak up. And the list goes on. And the last pair, a time for war, a time for peace. The list is what the author observed about life. It is not a list of do's and don'ts. It is not suggesting that it is okay to kill or to go to war. It simply states what life is and gave examples of what the word everything and every matter mentioned in verse 1. So we could come up with our own list, right? Like a time to study, a time to stop studying, a time to stay in a job, a time to leave the job, or a time to get sick and a time to be well, a time to remember, a time to forget. And perhaps what most of us can identify with recently in the pandemic, a time to wear masks and a time to take up our masks, and a time to isolate, a time to gather again. But there are three things we can observe, we can learn from the passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. The first is that even though we may prefer one end of the spectrum to the other, we really do not get to choose. We really do not get to choose. We all love new birth. We don't like death, right? We celebrate birth. We mourn the dead. We like peace and we don't like war. We like to love, to embrace, to have peace. But we don't get to choose. Though we may plan in some ways, the outcome do not always go according to our plans. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 tells us, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. The Lord establishes his steps. And then further down in verse 33, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Its every decision is from the Lord. So we see here that nothing is random or pure coincidence. God is in control, and He alone determines what happened to each one of us, whether we like it or not. Sorry, I missed out the first point. Yeah? Okay. Can you? Oh. Is it coming up? It's okay, sorry. Okay, thank you, Pastor Jordan. He's more than a reverend. He solved all our technical problems. Okay, so that's the first point. We don't really get to choose what happened to us. And the second point is this, right? That not only do we not get to choose what happened to us, we don't get to say when this thing will happen. When this thing will happen. Right? We all love new births. Right, but all married couples knows that while we may try, we don't really know when we will get pregnant. Right? We may work hard at a job, but we don't really know when the promotion will come. Or when we are sick, we don't really know and be sure when we will recover. Timing is important, but we have very little influence on it. And often we are told to be patient, to wait upon the Lord. The third thing we observe from these verses is that no reasons or purposes were provided when things happen. We don't get to know why things happen, especially when bad and cruel things happen. We often ask God why, and we don't get any answers. They just happen, and this is part of life. So verse 1 to 8 simply tells us that there is a time and a season for every event in our life, whether good or bad. They don't tell us when and why. So life with God is problematic because while we may have some control, we don't really determine the outcomes. Everything has a season, and life is full of perpetual changes. We may prefer some changes to others, but we really don't get to choose them. However hard we may try, God is the one who determines what happened to us and when they happen. And worse still, very often, we cannot understand or figure out why these things are happening. So what's the point? What's the point of trying to find the meaning in life if everything is determined by God? Even life with God is problematic, and it doesn't seem to benefit us at all. So what gain has the worker from his toil? In verse 9, what gain has the worker from his toil? not just the toy of work, but the toy of trying to find meaning in life. Nothing is to be gained. There is no gain at all. There is no profit. The author proclaimed. Then, out of a sudden, in verse 11, he declares that God has made everything beautiful in its time. God has made everything beautiful in its time. How is that possible? How can all these changes and happening, which we don't have control of, which we don't know when and why they are occurring, suddenly become beautiful? Verse 10 and 11 tells us, I have seen the business God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. And also, he has put eternity into man's heart so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. So the author explained that all these frustration and feelings of meaninglessness come about because of the tension between God's eternal purpose and our temporal limitation, made worse by our sinful state. The tension arises because on the one hand, we know and sense that there is more to life than the here and now. We search for larger meaning outside of ourselves because God has put eternity into our hearts. There is a God-shaped hole in our hearts that only God can fill. And Augustine famously say that you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Yet, on the other hand, we are not able to fully understand and know the mind of God. What is his intention? What is he up to? In fact, we often doubt God. We doubt the goodness of God. We doubt what he's doing, his timing, and his intention. And this is due in part to our sinful nature or sinful state. The phrase, the children of men, mentioned in verse 10, in the original Hebrew language, refers to the sons of Adam, sons of Adam. So this gives us the hint that the perplexed problem we face in life, in our life with God, is due in part to our sinful nature, to the sinful state of man. So we see that we have difficulty appreciating the beauty of our life with God because of our human limitation. We cannot fully understand his purpose, and because of our sinful state, we often doubt the goodness of God. Is it coming back? Oh, we need our technical support again. Okay, sorry, we are back. Eh? All right. So we really see that, you know, because of the difference we have with God, because of our limitation, our human limitation, we cannot fully understand the purposes of God. And because of our sinful state, we often doubt the goodness of God. All right? In fact, we sometimes suspect His intention. Right? But God, in His larger purpose of life, everything has His purpose. Everything has its place. They are beautiful. The word beautiful in verse 11 also means fitting and appropriate. Everything that happens in our life is not random. Everything is fitting and appropriate. Our life is like a tapestry or an embroidery, right? In this side of eternity, we only see the back side of the tapestry. And often it looks like a mess, like the one on the right, right? Often it really looks like a mess. And we don't see any pattern at all. We don't see any purposes at all. But God, the master weaver, weaves our life with the purpose shown on the front side of the tapestry. And this is very well depicted in the beautiful poem called Life is but a Weaving. Life is but a weaving. My life is but a weaving between my God and me. I cannot choose the colors He weaves steadily. Oft times He weaves sorrow, and I, in foolish pride, forget He sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shutter cease to fly will God unroll the canvas and reveal the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the thread of gold and silver in the pattern He has planned. He knows, He loves, He cares. Nothing this truth can dim. He gives the very best to those who leave the choice to Him. So in order for us to see the beauty of our life with God, we need to trust God, who is good, wise, and mysterious. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 to 9 tells us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For my ways are higher than your ways." Okay. Do we want to fix this, or we just go on? Huh? Okay, but the last one we need to show. Okay. Yeah, maybe we try. So when we live with eternity in our hearts, all right, we live with eternities in our hearts, we accept that God is wise, good, and mysterious. Wise even when bad and unpleasant things happen to us. They are not random occurrence or God being out of control. They have good purpose and intent and are beautiful in the sense that they are fitting and appropriate in the purposes of God. Remember the two sides of the tapestry. While God is wise and good, He is also mysterious. So He may choose to reveal something to us, but His ways are always higher than our ways. And we can never fully understand what He is up to. So while we cannot fully understand what God is doing, we should not let what we cannot know prevents us from enjoying our life. We should not let what we cannot know prevent us from enjoying our life. verse 12 to 13, I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. So the author of Ecclesiastes tells us not to be cynical and upset about life and this, and let this rob us of the joy and the pleasure that God intended. We should enjoy our life and do good. This call to enjoy life is repeated many times in Ecclesiastes. In chapter 2, verse 24, right, there is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in all his toys. Chapter 3, verse 22, and so I saw that there is nothing better than for a man, that a man should enjoy his work, for that is his lot. In chapter 5, verse 18, behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil. So similar theme of enjoying life can be found in chapter 8, chapter 9, and even chapter 11. So the Apostle Paul, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, tells us to set our hopes on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. So are we enjoying our life as a Christian, or are we weighed down by the frustration and the perplexity of life? God wants us to enjoy our life. Sometime, or some of us may feel guilty to enjoy our life because we are often told to sacrifice, to suffer from God, to take up the cross daily. Yes, there are times for that, but there are also times for us to enjoy our life. We don't have to be more pious than God Himself. There are times for us to enjoy a good movie, a delicious meal and drink, and a great company of friends and loved ones. God wants us to enjoy our life. And I realize that during the pandemic, many people have taken up hobbies like gardening. So as we work from home, we also find time to pick up a hobby or two to enjoy our life. Right? Now that we can go back to our office, I hope that we can still find the time to enjoy these hobbies. One thing that keeps us from enjoying our life in the present is our worry about tomorrow. We worry what will happen to us in the future. We worry about our studies, our health, our job prospect, our aging, and even our death. But Ecclesiastes tells us to rest in God's sovereignty, Verse 14 to 15, I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before Him. That which is already has been, and that which is to be already has been. And God seeks what has been driven away. God's sovereignty is not meant to trouble us. It is meant to comfort us. Whatever happens to us, God knows, and He is in control. And He is for us. God takes an eternal perspective. Whatever God does endures forever. It will not change. There is no need for change because there is no mistake there. He does not wonder if it will all work out. And His sovereignty also means perfection. There is nothing to add to it or take away for what God has done. It is perfect. Okay, we are back, right? Okay, even in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus reminds us not to worry about tomorrow, but to trust in God's sovereign providence, because the Heavenly Father knows what we need. We can enjoy our life in God and rest in the sovereignty of God. Of course, this call to enjoy our life is not an invitation to a lifestyle of complacent hedonism, right? To just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Oh, it comes out, is it? Okay, good. So, Jesus' life is a perfect example of the tapestry of time. You all can see, right? Okay, that's good. Right. In Jesus, we see that God is for us and has made everything beautiful in its time, despite the problematic life experience. There are 400 years, or there were 400 years of silence from God between the Old and the New Testament. Silence as to the fulfillment of God's promises. Yet the Bible declares in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, that at just the right time, when the fullness of time has come, God sent His Son. So there is no mistake here in the 400 years of silence or waiting. It is appropriate and fitting. And Luke chapter 2 recorded that Jesus grew up in wisdom and stature, in favor of God and man. He was baptized by John the Baptist and began his ministry. After his 3 years of challenging ministry, he was betrayed by his disciples, handed over to the authority by the religious leaders, and then went through tremendous suffering and shame and died on the cross at the hand of Pontius Pilate and the Roman soldier. But Romans chapter 5, verse 6 tells us that at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. At just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. So in the back side of the tapestry, we see the human side of the event, the challenges that Jesus faced, the betrayal, the arrest, the brutality, the suffering, and even the death. But on the front side of the tapestry, God's purpose was being fulfilled. Sinners were being saved. It was well intended. It was beautiful. And it's perfectly timed. So while nobody knows when the hours... While nobody knows the hours and the time of Christ's return, but we know for sure that Jesus will come back again at just the right time. This is the last light, right? So I'm quite okay. Yeah? Okay, take a good look at the painting. This painting is by Dutch painter Rudolf Beckenston, of Jesus and his disciple in the storm on the Sea of Galilee, recorded in Mark's Gospel. The upper two-thirds of the painting are covered with the swirling dark clouds, and the lower one-third is filled with fierce stormy waves. But the focal point of the painting is on the people in the small boat caught in the storm, trying to survive. Yet for all the darkness that covered the painting, there is a spot of sunlight breaking through the darkness, illuminating Jesus as he woke up from the cries of his disciple. So while the painting may be filled with darkness, it portrays the ray of hope and joy in the midst of the storm. So it is with Ecclesiastes. While the book may be filled with dark hues of vanities, frustration, and perplexity, its central message is this, that its central message is that of hope and joy. And this is best captured in today's passage in chapter 3, that God has made everything beautiful in its time. What a joy for us to be a Christian. Let us pray. God our Father, we thank you for the message of Ecclesiastes this morning. We thank you that in the midst of all the darkness Jesus came and became the light and the focus of our life. He brings us joy. He brings us peace. And it's beautiful in its time. How has our Christian life been? Some of us may be new believers, and some of us has been Christians for years and decades. How is our life with God? Are we frustrated and perplexed about some life events that have robbed us of the joy? Or are we taking our life too easily and too relaxing? Help us, Lord, help us this morning to see the beauties of the things that happen, even though we may not fully understand why they are happening. Help us to have the faith, Lord, to trust and believe that you are always with us and you are wise, even though mysterious. To help us, Lord, to enjoy our life and rest in your sovereignty. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.